Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The media or the world presents all of us folk in this business is like, we're always trotting all around the world and just on beaches and having fun. But there's a lot of other obvious things that go into that.
Welcome to Ladies First with Laura Brown. I'm Laura Brown, editor-in-chief of InStyle magazine, and each week I'm talking to a legendary lady about what she does, how she does it, and what we can learn from her. You know Jennifer Aniston, right? Great gal. Not only is she on our September cover, she's starring in season 2 of The Morning Show, which is funny, really, because she's a night owl. So, we met probably 2006-7. We've probably shot at least a dozen covers together, right?
I think so.
You've pranced and danced and twirled and done that
hung.
Little... Hung. You've hung. You've hung off
you've
things.
You've hung me from like... What is that thing called?
Oh, we put you in a big ball.
Big ball, floating ball.
We've had you in a floating, you know, I mean, you're synonymous with balls, the floating balls particularly. We put you in balls, we put you in dresses, we put you in different characters, we've done so many things. And welcome to Ladies First, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, merci. Thank you for having me.
And also, you are on our September cover, which will be out on this very same day as this. And again, made your career just like that. You were desperate. Please. And I said, yes, fine. You can have the cover.
Please bring me to life. Bring me back to life, Laura.
Was it actually one of your first shoots since the old pandemic, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was. It's so strange, you know, trying to think.
How did you net out, Aniston? Of the old panty?
The panty whammy. So there was so much good and so much horror all happening at once. And I think for me, the good was really a big decompression and a really nice inventory of what's it all about. And what, you know, when you're forced to not work, which I know you and I, we like to work. We like to be busy. Idling is not preferable. It was a really, I think, important for a big majority of those who were willing to let it be a reset. Let's slow down. Let's take all of this in and reassess and reevaluate and excavate. And I'm sure we've all cleaned out many. I mean, literally cleaning out, you know, crap that we don't need.
What have you reset?
I think my level of anxiety has actually gone down because eliminating the sort of fat that's unnecessary that I thought was necessary is just, and having really no problem realizing that's okay. You know, you can't please everybody. If you're trying to please everybody, you're just diminishing returns. And what is that going to, what good does that do if you're sort of just like little bits of yourself? Let's try to be like the full, all of who we are so we can come to the table. I mean, the media or the world presents all of us folk in this business is like, we're always, you know, trotting all around the world and just on beaches and having fun. But there's a lot of other obvious things that go into.
This is actually a beach. This is a beach. This isn't with.
I just
you're
had
on a beach.
Set dressed.
Yeah.
This is a set dressed beach.
Yeah, you're in Cabo.
I have a little hut over me, so you can't see the glorious sun beating down on me.
What was sort of one of the things that you were happy to sort of cut, and what you're going to move along? What's your edit? Like, how are you going to approach things? Say, for example, when Morning Show comes out again in the fall, and like you have to do the twirly whirly. That's what I call press and everything.
Oh yeah. I call it the dog and pony show. Press junkets, red carpets, all of the sort of shiny penny things. It saves everybody a lot of money to not travel all of these people and then have to create the venues and dress them all up and make them. And do people really, really need all of that? And I mean, the work is what I love to do. It's the promotion of it that creates some stress in me. You get like a second of what it is that you're promoting, and then the rest of it is all salacious crap that, you know, you didn't really, you somehow got wrangled into talking about.
You somehow did, and in the end, it's just endless.
Yeah.
The appetite right? for that, yeah.
It's a big appetite for that.
One of the team said, and this was actually a cute question, though, it's saying when you do the Friends reunion, you said you almost lost the role because you're on Muddling Through, which is just the best title, number one.
It felt kind of appropriate at the time. I loved the people I was working with, but it did feel a little bit like we were muddling through.
Let's visit a parallel universe.
Okay.
Where you couldn't get off Muddling Through.
Like, what if?
I know. Can you even imagine?
No. Just like one little moment, a last minute audition I got at 6 o'clock the night before, and I had to be there at 2 p.m. the next day. And what's this? And boom.
What sort of stayed with you from that?
Well, first of all, that this is eternal, not just sort of out there in the ethers or on a television set once in a while that you pass by, but in our actual, in our body, in our DNA, in our hearts, in our bloodstream, the cells, this is, these people are, it's somehow, it was like a unicorn of an experience that I don't think really happens that often. And for whatever reason, we were all at the right place at the right time and created some little burst of something that landed its little flag on a lot of people's hearts around the world. I mean, obviously not everybody's hearts, but a good fair amount.
Probably most. What did you do on your own time, you guys? Because you hadn't all been together shooting something, I guess. It was 16 years or something, wasn't it?
I think it was actually 17 years, yeah. I'm good at forgetting. I'm good at, like, aging down.
What is time? What
Nothing.
Is time?
But man-made.
That's man-made. Did you have time off with each other? Because I know, look, obviously you see Lisa, Courtney all the time, Lisa all the time. You guys live in LA. You know what I mean? And the guys were, you know, well, Ross.
Swimmer.
Is in New York.
And, you can call him Ross.
I mean, Ross.
He lives in New York.
Because you've been on a break. And so
yeah,
he's there.
Still. It's the longest break.
This is so suspenseful.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? But what did you sort of like have some off time together that people weren't like filming and resonating this time?
You know, we had endless Zooms. I had a couple people over on Sunday just with the kids and stuff. Schwimmer stopped by on that the Sunday before. So I got to meet his little girl who is just an otherworldly little child, human being. Amazing. So I did get to see Schwim, but I'd seen Court, but the Court was in London. But we really did make a commitment to each other. We were like, that's the last time we wait that long to see each other.
And then when you do that, like just bring like one camera.
Just one. But, you know, Courtney and Dave are the director of the group, so they can probably figure out how to set up even maybe three cameras.
Well, if Courtney directs it like she does her damn Instagram, Jesus, it's like Kubrick.
I know. I'm like, God.
I know. It's a
it's
a tennis game, and it's a thing,
like,
and it's a steak.
It's like, bam, bam, bam. And then she does, I mean, the Disneyland, she did.
She went there.
She had then, like one of those Hannah and her sister cameras that were like, girl, on a dolly? Did you bring a dolly to Disneyland?
My favorite part of your Instagram is the New Yorker cartoons that you're always posting.
Oh, they make me laugh.
By the way, one of my team said on TikTok, well, one of the team wanted to know this. I think I know the answer. Would you ever join it?
No. I said that also about the Instagram with, I think, that much time in between the question. No.
Did you know you have a TikTok doppelganger who boasts videos lip-syncing to your Friends lines?
I looked and I watched it and it freaked me out. It was very strange. It was really strange. Didn't you think that? I mean, it's just not exactly like me in little quick moments, but that's of all the people that have said, you know, everybody says I look just like you. And
right. And you're like, thanks?
That was pretty close. Sometimes it's thanks, question mark. And then other times it's like, wow, thank you.
Who's done the best impression of you, like an SNL or something?
Vanessa Bayer. And here's how that, I remember someone saying, did you see the impression that was done on you in SNL? And my first response was, what? Who? No, I'm not impressionable. They played it for me, and I again, that is so not the way I sound. Oh my gosh. What? And then I had to really kind of get my brain around that this was a compliment and take my little, you know, tail between my legs thinking I'm being made fun of, because, you know, that's what we always love to do.
Well, that's the first, in you know,
first, thing we're first gut instinct is they're making fun of me. But then it's...
Why is that the first instinct all the time? It's sad.
Like, oh, childhood.
Commences crying, small tear falls down left cheek. What is it like to be inside and outside of yourself like that? What's it like to see these sort of like pop cultural like signposts of you? Do you ever get used to it?
I mean, I'm also not as glued to things, which is fine by me. But I do, when I see it, I think it's funny.
Tell me a bit. I just want to talk a dash bit more about the 90s because,
more about the 90s. Love them.
How do you look back on that time now when you can, again, you had a great experience, but there was this whirl of media in particular ways with women that some women were okay.
Feeding on young, impressionable girls. I mean, these were kids that started in having a Mickey Mouse Club. Me, speaking for myself, was lucky enough to be, you know, raised by a very strict mother, and the priorities were not about becoming a famous person. It was about, you know, study your craft, learn what you're doing. Don't just go out there and get lucky. I had a really strong group of
You had an ensemble around you. Like,
I had
literally an
ensemble around me. I waitressed for years. I couldn't get arrested. I got a Bob's Big Boy commercial on my 900th commercial audition. And, you know, I was doing off. I don't even think it was in New York City theater, but it was like off Broadway. Might be in like Long Island or Brooklyn. I don't know. But it was still something. So I think that group of girls who were teens and didn't have any kind of like, who am I, was being defined by who am I by this outside source. And then the media full on took advantage of that and, you know, capitalized on them and ultimately caused them their sanity.
And how did you sort of build up your own, not reserves, but your own perspective? You know, you were still like mid-20s when, you know, Friends started. You could have done a master's and being graduated by that time. You know what I mean? That you, how did you first reconcile that? And then how did you start to build up a little bit of a fortress?
Like spiritual Teflon, spiritual armor. That's how people used to call it, your spiritual armor. Once I moved to LA and went through telemarketing and was auditioning, got some jobs here and there. That's when I was building the foundation of women that surrounded me. And I went to my first circle, being a girl from New York City. And someone said, we're going to go to do and they called it a goddess circle at the time. And I was like, I'm sorry, a what? We're going to go and we're going to hold this thing called a sage stick and we're going to burn it. And I'm like, and then what? And it does what? And it's going to burn away dark energy. And I was like, okay, I've really landed in Los Angeles from New York City to Laurel Canyon. But honestly, I know it sounds woo and weird and all that, but it really did give me my foundation and meeting all of these women who are creatives in some form or another, but not, you know, a part of this business. And that was my touchstone. That was my go-to for fun.
Right, because you have friends who are 20-something years that are all, you guys are always around each other. So was that when, you know, when ill winds would blow, you know, media-wise or goss-wise, whatever?
I remember the first time a story came out and there was ways back then where you could find out the source or of where it came,
from.
And then it was like people in high school. Oh. I was like, so-and-so did that? So-and-so did that? And then that's when you sort of had the opening into, oh, people are capable of doing those kind of not so kind things to someone. So that was my first sort of, oh, this is what someone who is feeling inferior towards someone who's having, I guess, some sort of success and they maybe weren't, how they handle it is by trying to take the successful person
down,
use something about them, not even take them down, but just take advantage and capitalize on some silly, innocuous story that happened in high school.
That's the thing, because were you at times, I'm sure, more buttoned up? Because as long as I've known you, and we've gotten to know each other much better in the last, you know, few years, but you could be like Howard Hughes up there. You know what I mean? No, you could, you know, you could have been like, I can't trust anyone. I have to be around these people. I'm not going to go. But you are one of the most curious people I know. And you want to meet interesting people and you want to learn. And so how did you end up reconciling, especially back, you know, with marriage and divorce and everything else, through all of that, to come out kind of quite sort of sanguine now and open to things?
Therapy, a wonderful amount of just trying to understand it. Also being given examples of what I do not want to become. Watching behavior of what I will never become. Seeing people I love get lost, lose the plot. You can only help someone as much as they're willing to be helped. I also believe I do believe that at the core of everyone there is goodness. And I also, watching people in my life go through hardships and just hold on to resentment and watching that eat them away. Forgiveness is not in their vocabulary. That's a real shame, because I believe that is really an important thing to be able to forgive people. I mean, there's certain things that are unforgivable and maybe, but never unforgettable. You can just put that in a little file. But again, there is room for people to grow and change. And
who have you loved to get to know or meet in the last few years that has expanded you?
I love doctors. I love scientists. Dr. David Sinclair, I met in the last few years, blew my mind. I'm having a really hard time sleeping. So I'm like trying to understand that our circadian rhythms and all of this stuff.
Are you over revving a little bit in the brain?
Murder Mystery 2 just sort of got greenlit. So we're starting that the fall. So my mind is now.
More murders.
Yeah. We don't know. Maybe just mysteries.
Hang on, are you going to go to Europe again, or is it going to be in the States?
We're going to probably go to Europe, some other beautiful location. So the morning show brain had shut down, went under the covers. So now Murder Mystery 2 is now happening and percolating, and we just got the script, and we're now getting it all together. So that's a lot of what's keeping my...
But you have a hummingbird brain.
I do, because I want it to be good. I want it to be better. I want it to be different. You know, how do we improve? How do we... Because it was, you know, really loved by a lot of people. So that was really nice.
Okay, so you can't sleep because it's entirely due to your own brain. So as your doctor, I have...
I'm at the fault of...
Yes, it's you, because you've revved. Your engine's gone... Number one, you don't go to bed till late, do you?
Mm-mm. Although I have been going to bed early. Because I'm listening to these podcasts about trying to turn my brain off. It's really hard. Was it because I was born at night? I don't know. But the world shuts down, the phones stop ringing, and that's when I can have putter time, me time. I can just sort of like potter.
I enjoy a 1 a.m., Jen. But then you get up and then you sort of exercise every day pretty much, right?
I try to.
You try to do some bending and flapping about?
flap about. At least one flap a day.
What's your thing right now? Give the people what they want. What are you doing? Are you doing some lunges?
I actually have been started going back into my lunges, into my workout routines that were not just Pilates, because I had an injury back in the fall. So I was only able to do Pilates, which I absolutely love. Then I had a fabulous teacher and she was great. But I also was missing that kind of like sweat. And that just like go for it. Yeah. So I'm kind of going back to my 15, 15, 15, which is a 15 minute spin, elliptical run, and then just old school, you know, I know what to do. You know, I can chase myself around a gym and tell me what to do. But some kind of movement, like I said, even if it's just 10 minutes a day, even if it's just on a trampoline.
What makes you feel strongest physically and mentally?
Good sleep.
I'm detecting a theme here.
I mean, yeah. honestly, that's what makes me feel my strongest is when I wake up and I'm fresh and I have had a chance to kind of, you know, that's when our cells are rejuvenating, right?
So I hear, oh my God, is that your rejuvenation juice? Has that got anything in it or is it just regular water?
This is vodka. I'm kidding. Could you imagine?
Has that got vital proteins in it? Are you putting collagen in?
This is my vital proteins.
Oh, okay. Well done. Thank you.
This is my this is some alkaline water.
Actually, can we just say, Jenna's a car, and in the car, she has a fridge. And she has a car. Breaking news, Jennifer Aniston lives in LA, has a car.
I might live in a car. This could be a set again.
This is actually a car on a beach. Anyway, but there's a little tiny little bar fridge in the car, and it always has fresh, delicious chilled water. That's just fun fact, everybody. Okay, tell me about Morning Show. That's coming out, probably why you're doing this cover.
Is that why? I thought it just because you and I have fun when we do magazine shoots together.
That too.
Which
that
we
too.
Really do.
We really slap a thigh. In the Morning Show, season two trailer, Alex very publicly says bye-bye to the Morning Show and she retreats to a more private life. Could you imagine doing that?
Well, we all kind of did. So yes, I can imagine it and I can imagine it being wonderful for about 3 months. And then I imagine, then you get like a little, yeah, this is good. I've rearranged everything. I've cleaned out everything. I've read everything. I've meditated. I feel great. Now I'd like to see a person.
Yep, exactly. Now tell me about filming it because it was long and there were 3 a.m. shoots when you're driving up Nichols Canyon or something, wasn't it? And of course it is like it's not a huge cast and you are the lead of it. So what was the most challenging part about filming it and what was the most rewarding?
Well, the most challenging part about it was shooting during the pandemic. Here we are, we're creatives and you're living in an alternate universe where COVID does not exist. And yet everybody was experiencing different levels of anxiety. I personally was able to kind of walk into it pretty centered and also knowing we had an incredible epidemiologist, endless Zoom meetings on protocol, and then going to work, testing every morning, everybody's in masks. And for actors to not see, yes, the eyes are the windows of the soul. Yes, I get that. It's amazing. But I missed seeing my crew's faces. I miss seeing my makeup artists, our hairdressers, our cameras, our operators, our props, all of our team that makes the whole show click. At the end, you know, everyone was sort of almost vaccinated and we were all just like, let's just take a mask down for 2 seconds and, you know.
And so you all made out.
We didn't make out. No, we didn't make out. Nobody made out. So that was a challenge.
And what was the best bit?
So the best bit was just the work. Oh, and you know what else was challenging? So I wasn't with Reese as often as I was the first season, but the best part is the work. The writing is incredible.
How do you feel about you as a performer now? How confident did you feel? How'd your shoulders feel basically in season two?
I don't know. I don't honestly know because I mean, I'd leave every day because that was not a fun headspace to live in. And I'm not that insane and I'm not that neurotic and I'm not that inconsistent in my moods. So to be that is really hard. It just takes a lot to sort of go to a place to resurrect whoever that person is. Because I'd leave the set someday just like not able to stop, to shake it. And then all of a sudden it just lifts like this cloud and it's like, wow, I feel so much lighter. This manhole cover has been taken off my back. And that's
this whole
when,
time
you know,
it was so heavy.
Yes.
You were just trudging around.
But if you really get into it and get there and really do that work and you don't have the explosion as, you know, off camera instead of on camera, then you really acting as a healing craft.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Ladies First with me, Laura Brown. I first met Jennifer Aniston in 2007 on a cover shoot. As famous as she is an against all odds story of perspective. What are you proudest of with Morning Show, or what are you proudest of as an actor at this point?
I'm most proud of the quality of the show, that we were able to finish two seasons of this show. It's a monster of a show. The themes, the storylines are really, you know, we're walking the line. It's a group of incredible women at the helm. Of course, Michael Ellenberg.
Yeah, sure, Michael, whatever.
But we, you know, this was a powerhouse of women that were at the top of their game. And not only were we producing it on and in the guts of it, now it's the edit, now it's the sound mix, now it's the all, you know, it's the post-production, which is more fun because we're not having to go and vomit every day. We can sit back and watch the vomit.
And just watch the vomit if you're into that.
Not literal. Laura, come on now.
She wants to do like doctor. She's into vomit. This is a whole world of wonder.
See, I missed my calling, maybe.
No, but hang on. Would you be a good doctor?
I'd be a great doctor.
What sort of doctor would you be?
Derm.
You'd be pouring into pores. You could do that. I think you should just go try. Just go show up somewhere and just go, don't mind me.
I've kind of done that in my friends' delivery rooms. I've, you know, gotten down there. I went to see what was going on. I held the foot. There was two of us. One was at one foot. I was at the other foot. So I had a front row seat at the show and was able to kind of go, hey, now wait a minute. Did you ask permission to get that thing out?
And you thought how large it can go.
Yeah. I mean, I've been privy to that in, you know, child, you know, sex ed. But
yeah, but still not face to face, as it were.
It was quite literally face to face.
So next time you're giving birth in hospital, just don't mind, Jen might just pop in because she wants to go face to face with your newborn child. Won't be weird.
The doctor might have actually said, can you please get out of my light? That's sadly.
And you said, but I love medicine. I love it. Speaking of people that need doctors, you're a notorious fan of The Bachelor. Would you ever consider?
Do you think they all need doctors?
I don't
think they all need help.
I don't know what you're insinuating. Would you ever guest host now that it's up for grabs? If you were to host it, what would be your first order of business?
Oh God, Laura. I don't know. I think they should have a psychologist on the show. I think they need a psychiatrist. I think there should also be someone that they can go in and talk to.
That could be you.
Okay, I'll do that. I'd be glad to.
And you get roses that you've picked yourself, and you go, this is for your mental health. Enjoy. Okay, now we're going to do some quickie ones. Okay, what role in your career are you most proud of?
I am really proud of this role. I also love Dr. Julia in Horrible Bosses just because she was just wackadoodle. Oh, and Cake. I was proud of Cake.
What character has pushed you most as an actor? Might be one of these as well.
That would be this role, this one. Yeah.
Alex.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's so long. I mean, it's been months. It's been years. Let's be clear.
Is there ever a job you turned down you regret?
Yes, but I will not say what it is.
Who? Okay. I know. It was Elizabeth, the movie that went to Kate Blanchett.
That's correct. God damn it.
And I actually love to ask women about this because one would think, oh, she's done all the things, you know. But I always like to ask women about this. What are you ambitious for? And what does ambition mean to you?
You know, I honestly, I've not ever been an ambitious person.
But it doesn't, depends on your definition,
right.
Doesn't it?
Ambitious just means happiness. I'm ambitious to be a happy, content, fulfilled human being without regrets of things that I knew I could have done and I didn't do it. Not like jumping out of an airplane or hang gliding or shark, you know, diving or whatever.
Shark diving is I don't recommend
no.
it.
No, shark tanks.
No, I thought you meant from the sky. With a shark.
No.
So clearly didn't mean that. What does badass mean to you? Badass, Jeanne Eston.
Oh, badass. I think Gloria Steinem is a badass. You know, I think Diane Keaton's a badass. I'm just being, I think it's like women who have lived a life, their authentic life, and without apologies. Oprah's a badass.
What's been the most badass thing you've ever done?
I'm not good at claiming self badassness.
Okay, you ready? We do this thing called 10 firsts. Ready? First drink you order.
Margarita, but it's clean, you know, no sugar, or a dirty martini.
What was the first alcoholic drink you ever had?
You know what it was? Dry sherry. My mom, it was like they had those crystal decanters of dark liquids. And one day I just decided to open one up and just smell it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And oh, it was awful.
2 days
not
later,
a dark,
you woke up.
Not a dark liquid drinker. I only drink 2-3 drinks at the top. That's it. I don't have like exotic when they're like, would you like a cranberry coconut cucumber spiced, and I'm like, no, I would not. Or hibiscus, no. But when I moved in, a couple different people for housewarming got me tequilas of the month for a year. Like every month you got a different tequila. So I have a glorious sort of cellar of all kinds of spirits. So you could actually come here and probably order anything you wanted to, and it would be here because that was, you know, that was a couple of different friends.
Of the month.
Month. It was years. And I was like, well, this is just going to go on forever.
You're haunted by tequila deliveries just forever. That's your purgatory. Okay. First thing you look at on your phone in the morning.
How many?
I don't care.
No, meaning how many messages?
Oh, yeah. How many messages do you have? No, yeah. So messages first, and do you wake up like,
no, I don't look at this, you know, for as long as I possibly can. And I have this in my other room, and I have the little sort of device that's just for sleep apps and for meditations. And then that's when I can be, when I'm really, really good, that's I can, that actually makes such a huge difference.
How many sleep apps do you have?
5, maybe.
Okay. First person you call?
Call? No one. My dogs, out loud.
And they don't pick up. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Are you phone phobic now? I am.
No, I love the phone. There's a couple girlfriends that we love the phone.
Love a yap.
Yes. And sometimes we can be on that phone and be doing things that you're just in their ears.
No, you did. I was over there one day and you were like literally having a conversation with someone in the room. And then you picked up the phone to a girlfriend who was, I don't know, dating a dude or something. And you were like, soda. And you were just completely in it,
mm-hmm.
like right into the heart parts
mm-hmm.
of your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not only a good chap and an empathetic person, but you're a multitasker.
To a point. Well, if someone's in need.
Okay. First joke you remember. I can see something's there, but you're like, it's bad.
Nah, it's like, it's something I can't say. Half of the shit I can't say.
Okay, what makes you laugh now? Like, what's like the thing that makes you go?
Well, obviously, I'm an easy laugh. I really like off-color humor. You know, it could be the dogs make me laugh. Self-deprecation, it makes me laugh. I think it's really funny when people point and just are like, humanity makes me laugh. Like just silly mistakes, people being human, everything that we're probably not supposed to do makes me laugh.
First fashion splurge. What did you buy when you were like, oh, I've got it?
My first fashion splurge was not fashion. My first splurge was a car.
Ah, well, that's also one of these questions. So now you're doubling up. So tell me.
Okay, I'll double up. It was a Mercedes 270 SL cream. It was on La Cienega and where Fred Siegel is on Melrose. I think Fred Siegel is still there. And what was on the opposite was like this, it was like a pine furniture store. But there was always this Mercedes, this 270 SL Mercedes that sat
just sitting there
forever saying for sale on it for like 2 years. And I remember thinking one day, wouldn't that be great if I could buy that car? One day, wouldn't that be great if I could buy that car? And then first year friends happened. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy that antique car because I've always loved that car. I can't remember how much it was. It might have been like $13,000. Should have been an indicator.
Didn't have an indicator.
And it got me home. And then I don't even actually think I made it home before it just went like, So it might have honestly just been the shell of a car. And I was the sucker to finally purchase it. So the amount of work I had to put into that car just to make it drive a block was...
What a 15 minutes though. Do you remember what you wore on like your first red carpet? Like your first like friend's red carpet?
I block all of that out because those were dark days. Those were really dark days. Oh, wait, it's coming to me. It might have been the premiere of Leprechaun. And I wore a lace black turtleneck with velvet high-waisted bell bottoms.
Girl.
And a possible big old belt.
Oh, I would hope it's a big old belt. I'm going to immediately Google that. Leprechaun premiere?
I don't even think there was a red carpet. I don't even remember where it was. A theater on Santa Monica Boulevard across from a deli.
And when did you first like get to understand what your red carpet best kind of pose was? And I'm not saying you spent hours practicing, and I know you have a rich and full life, but when did you like sort of go, oh, okay, I'm better this way than this way?
Oh, you know, that always depends on your stylist, because don't stylists go, never do this. Always do this. And I was like, well, that just feels weird. I don't know how to stand on a red carpet. You just stand there and you try to do the best you can. You know who I think masters the red carpet? J-Lo. I want to know what gives her the look that looks like she's like just sort of gotten like angry at someone or is about to be seething.
She's pre-seething.
It's amazing.
But can you try? I mean, hang on, try.
I can't. I've tried. Because it's almost like she's going like she's almost like getting mad at somebody. But it's like, I don't know what it is.
But she's mad because she's so hot. She's so hot, it just makes her mad.
She's so gorgeous. She's like, I can't believe I'm standing here. If I tried that hard, and I don't think she's trying. I think for her, that's just like, just she fell out of bed that way.
Okay. First time, it's kind of like this one I was going to ask you before, but it's ruder. Not really. First time you owned your shit.
Literal or personal?
But no, either. First time when you either knew your worth or something you weren't going to put up with anymore.
I've gone through phases of knowing my shit. For sure. I probably thought when I moved to California and I was like, I live in this apartment on my own and I have a car and I'm a telemarketer and I own that shit. You know what I mean? So wherever I was at that time that I was feeling kind of awesome, and then you reach a new level. I think it's also important to kind of fall off that sort of cloud so that you can be reminded and humbled and then get back on it, because then you have to have somewhere else to strive to.
Well done. Great answer. First date.
Greg Annunziata. It was probably chaperoned, but we were very young. But I remember, I think that was my first boyfriend.
What age?
I was like fifth grade.
Ooh. Oh, hang on. Didn't People Magazine ask you if you were going to go on Raya?
Who did not ask me if I was going to go on Raya? Raya. Who would go? Who? Here's the thing. These so-called anonymous places where so-called well-known people can go, because I guess there's the reason well-known people have to go, because the people in the well-known areas don't discuss well-known people.
It's like the Masons. But they just think that you guys are all going to go there to the place that is sanctioned so you guys can all date each other in your safe place.
Yes. We have our own little island called the Celebrity Island that we live on.
It's great there. How great is that?
Honestly, that's the best version of The Bachelor is Bachelor in Paradise.
Imagine if all celebrities just lived on one island and you couldn't get off.
Well, no. I mean, that would be not great for anybody.
Let's leave it at that. Okay, first thing you turn on TV.
The news.
Which news?
Usually CNN. CNN. Now, I really have had to stop that because I think we all went through news fatigue, panic fatigue during the pandemic because we were just hoping one day we would wake up and hear something that was hopeful. And all we got was just more insanity. And there's still such a large group of people that are afraid of the vaccination or the anti-vaxxers, or they just aren't listening to actual facts, but they've actually come up with facts that they think are facts. It's a real shame. And, you know, I've lost a few people recently in my daily, my weekly routine who sort of have refused and also did not disclose. And it was unfortunate. So, and I feel it's your moral and professional obligation to now inform, since we're not all being potted up and we're not in that little, we see five different people tested every single day. It's a tricky thing because everyone is really entitled to their own opinion, but there's also a lot of opinions that don't feel to be actually based in anything except for fear, propaganda, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's been, this whole time has been a real tell, I think, a real tell on people, on people's capacities. Okay, first thing you do or eat if you're stressed out?
A chip.
Just one.
Chips. Crunch, crunch, crunch. It usually is just one, actually. I'm good at that. I can have one M&M, one chip. That's so annoying. You just looked at me. If you could have seen the look that Laura just gave to me.
Did you feel my contempt ooze through the screen? I rolled my whole head, not just my eye. Hey, guess what? You're the best. Thanks for doing this. It is the fact that you are, at the end of the day, a good soul and a kind and interested one and who's there for friends and is more in the world than you have any reason to be. And so I love that about you. So thank you very much.
Oh, sweetheart. Love you. Love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into my chat with Jennifer Aniston. Come back next week for more ladies and more firsts. This has been Ladies First with Laura Brown. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow us so you don't miss an episode, and we love your feedback. If you could please rate us and leave us a review, oh, we'd love it. Thanks to our production team at Pod People, Rachel King, Matt Sav, Danielle Roth, Anne Ford, Anne Kane, and Erica Wong. And thanks to Brian Anstey, Molly Stout, and Hayley Mason at InStyle. You can find out more at InStyle.com and find us on Instagram at InStyle Magazine, on Twitter at InStyle, and you can find me on Insta and Twitter at Laura Brown 99. See you next week for more Ladies First with Laura Brown.